the final chapter of the book of Acts. Like the preceding chapter, it provides us with many spiritual and practical lessons. However, our focus this afternoon is verse 2. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, means they showed a lot of kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. As God's redeemed people who bear the name of Christ, let us seek to do good unto all men for the honor of our Lord Jesus, and we can never know to whom we may be rendering or ministering our service. And this meditation or consideration this afternoon is more or less, again, a follow-up to what we have considered this morning, learning from the character of the Apostle Paul. And here, we can indeed learn something from these people on this, living on this island called Malta. The people of Malta here never dreamed that they were entertaining an apostle. And it never occurred to them that their simple act of kindness and hospitality would be recorded in sacred scripture, and that millions of eyes would read this account. Millions of minds would think upon this subject. And this kind act of theirs on behalf of this shipwrecked party. They really entertain an angel unaware. And they had many blessings in return, in consequence. For we find that Paul afterwards healed the father of the chief man of the island, and then others also living on this island who were suffering from various diseases, they were healed. And so their kindness, which they showed to Paul and his company, brought them, in consequence, much blessing. So you see, brethren, we can never tell how God may make return to us for acts of kindness, hospitality, and compassion which we may do to others in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto or into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. To be earnest in blessing others is the best way to bless yourselves, myself, as Christians. The subject I would like to bring before you is kindling a spiritual fire. The first point I would like to draw from the text is we are very inclined by nature to grow spiritually cold or grow cold spiritually. And therefore, secondly, the text suggests to us that we should be diligent, make effort in using means for getting spiritual warm. And thirdly, as there are many in this world who are cold, like Paul and his companions were when they came shivering from the sea because of the cold and the rain, it should be our constant duty as Christian believers who bear forth the name of Christ to seek to kindle a fire and to receive every one of them because of the cold. First then, we must confess, as we often are, Christians are very inclined and apt to be cold spiritually. Christians are very inclined to be cold spiritually. We are firstly inclined to be cold spiritually when we have to do with the things of God, things spiritual. Conversely, we find ourselves as Christians, we are hot enough perhaps in temper, earnest enough in the pursuit of our business, fast enough where pleasures and leisures may draw us. How easily and quickly it is for us to get back to that icy state. Lukewarmness perhaps, and then icy. To have our hearts frozen so that it does not beat freely as it should. Do you not find, brethren, that you and I never need to make any effort to be dull in spiritual things of God? Do you not find that to be true? That you do not need much effort to be in that state. But that the effort has to be made the other way to be spiritually warm. That you have to make an effort and need God's grace to give you and give me the strength to make it towards holiness, towards fervency, towards godly zeal. Is that not true? By nature, we are as hard and cold and dead as stones and seem as if we would never be warm and we never are useless, or rather we never are unless God turns the heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And even then, it often seems to grow hard and chill again. We go back to the same state again. Just like we see the children of Israel during the time of the judges, isn't it? They fall into sin, they were prospering and progressing well, and then they fall into sin because of their pride, and then they cry out to God, and then the Lord saved them. And then after a while, they are back again to the same old state as before. Cold, indifference, nonchalant. And even then, as I said, we grow chill again. And so we need fresh grace from our Lord to warm our hearts and to keep it beating at anything like the pace of life. I do not know how it may be with you, brethren. Perhaps you have been so lifted up by divine grace that you have never grown weary in your Christian race. If so, thank God that you are very, very blessed and privileged. But there are some of us who, although we have not actually suffered a back sliding, yet we have found our spiritual progress to be an uphill journey, to be a great struggle, isn't it? If we be honest to ourselves, we are by nature cold creatures. Just compare your state of heart for a while with the fervency and devotion of the apostles, of the confessors, of the early Christians, of the martyrs who lived and died for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make a comparison, or rather contrast yourself with some other followers or Christian believers whom you have known, whose fervent prayer puts us to shame, isn't it? And whose many deeds or acts of self-denial and whose whole persevering worship and service of God now rise before us and to make us blush. Above all, contrast yourself with the Lord Jesus, your Savior. Jesus was a glowing flame of fire. But what about you and I? Alas, what am I? Cold, cold, cold. Even this His great love, Christ's love for us, scarcely warms us to anything like true Christian affection. We can think of hell, indeed, with its unutterable horrors, and yet we scarcely move. Let's be honest again. How many of us are really in reverential fear for the judgment to come when we have to stand before God? We can think of heaven with its indescribable glories, and yet be scarcely affected. We can turn to the blessed Christ of Calvary and look upon His wounds, and yet our stony heart scarcely made to melt. It is sad, isn't it? It is sad that it should be so. But mournfully true is that we are cold by nature. And how much we need to repent, brethren, to pray for the Spirit of God to rekindle that spiritual fire in our hearts, and to pray that the Lord will be merciful to keep that fire burning in us, that it may go warmer, brighter for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, beside that, there are very spiritually cold seasons that come upon us. We do not deny that. And many of us Christians, true Christian believers, we go through times of being downcast, discouraged. Recall those times when the Church of Christ, let us bring our memory back, those times that seems to be in all earnest, the prayer meeting were crowded, fervent, her ministry was full of life and zeal. And we see this in this country, isn't it? In the past. In fact, we see also in our own country, in our home country, in my country, back in Singapore, where churches, people come, not because of the music or anything that attracts them, but because they have this spiritual fire in them. This desire to know God and to seek Him. The members seem to walk together in holy unity and love seeking those things which shall bring most glory to God. But the church has her winters as well as her summers. After her revival, there will come years of dearth. Yes, it's true. Like what we are seeing today in this land, it is just like 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty during the time of Joseph. And then the cankerworm will come and eat up the fruits of the land, which we are seeing in this once blessed nation, the United Kingdom, and many other Western countries. When the church as a whole is cold, it is not easy for us to be warm individually. I can easily gauge the temperature of a congregation in any place where I go to preach. I can soon see that some are warm and hearty and ready to receive the truth, while it is a heavy work to preach to others because they evidently either do not understand or do not appreciate the gospel. Or if they do appreciate the gospel, they have a very peculiar way of preventing the preacher from seeing that they have any enjoyment of the word that has been spoken. There are churches which always seems to be very cold, and there are other churches that once glow with summer heat that have now come into their wintry season of a truth. And we must admit, for those of us here in this congregation, of a truth, our congregation is in that sorry state. But thank God, brethren, those of us who are in Christ, we are not left to freeze in the cold. There is a way out for our spiritual dirt. The Spirit of God is with us, and the time of rekindling the spiritual fire is made available to us. Like I said this morning, all that we needed for this life as pilgrims here are all provided for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. May we, without delay and hesitation, turn to Christ while He may be found. And this brings me to the second head, which is the kindling of a spiritual fire is available to every Christian believer. As I mentioned a while ago, thank God that He does not leave us without some means of becoming spiritually warmer. There is a way out, and God has provided. There is an abundance of fuel to overcome the cold. The Christian, man or woman, being subject to the coldness of heart, God has provided him or her, for you and I, with the means of kindling a spiritual fire. That may make him or her warm and keep him or her warm. The first great fire to rekindle our cold heart is, again, is back to that one fundamental truth. The Word of God. The Word of God. There is no other way for a Christian to rekindle that spiritual fire in his or her heart. It must be the Word of God. The Lord Jesus, or rather the Lord said in Jeremiah 23 verse 29, "Is not my word like a fire?" It is so in so many ways, but especially because God's word has such a warming influence upon the hearts and minds of His people. When we are spiritually cold and we go to hear the word preached or read our Bibles, how it warms our hearts. Brethren, have you not often proved this to be so? God has given you a message that has so changed your life or changed your thoughts and your feelings that you have gone out with joy unspeakable through the fresh visitation of God's Spirit. Those who are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, who love the Lord Jesus, will bear witness to that. When Christ is preached, your heart is always warm. The preacher, yes, may be weak and may have spoken very simply and have not tried to display any graces of oratory. Yet the sermon satisfied your soul. Why? Because Christ was in it. The preacher preached Christ and Him crucified. If there is no Christ in it, then it will leave you spiritually cold. It is Jesus that you want. And when you get the truth of Jesus and of God the Father and of God the Spirit, when you get the truth of electing love, of God's faithfulness, of God's sovereignty, of God's immutability, and all those precious principles of the covenant of grace, then you will feel somewhat as the two disciples did when, on the way to Emmaus, Jesus Himself talked with them and their hearts were burned within them. Burned within them. Is it not very much the same also? In the reading of God's Word, besides hearing the preached word, besides hearing a sermon, it is the same. In your reading of God's Word, in your private devotion, as you begin to read, as you pray for the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see the truth of God's Word, as you pray for the Holy Spirit to illumine your understanding, enlighten your mind, do you not find yourselves, your heart warm? Your faith, which seems to be so faint, suddenly revives and gains new vigor. Yes, brethren, and you know it yourself. and I'm sure you know this. Diligently read your Bible daily, and you shall pass through those cold seasons. Keep close to the fire of the precious promises of God and other divine messages, and you will not be frostbitten. That is one spiritual fire. There is another spiritual fire, which is equally effective, equally efficacious. But sadly, again, Christians do not appropriate this means of grace. And I'm sure you can quite guess it where I'm coming. Beside the word of God, what else? If you would be warm spiritually, brethren, then commit yourself to prayer. Pray without ceasing, says the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Some Christians, I know, advocate that it is good to pray only when you felt or feel moved to pray. But I beg to differ. You should pray, brethren, to feel moved to pray. I repeat. You should pray to feel moved to pray. When you feel that you cannot pray, it is then that that is the right time when you should pray. For when you can pray, there may be less need for prayer than when you feel that you cannot pray. Dear friends, instead of it being wise to forsake the mercy seat, to turn away from the throne of grace because you feel dead and cold, that is the most grievous folly. Therefore, when we try to pray when we feel dead and cold, the very trying to pray makes you feel an inward pain. But we must keep trying, keep praying. Prayer is our very life and is essential to our spiritual health and our growth. As Pastor Montgomery's well-known hymn reminds us, it is the Christian's watchword at the gate of death. He enters heaven with prayer. If your heart is cold, then spend more time. Allocate more time for your prayer. Try praying with another believer. Ask some Christian brothers or sisters to join you in prayer. Much praying often comes through two or three or more Christians joining their supplication in private prayer. But if that still does not help you, I would urge you to get to the prayer meeting then, where many more will gather to pray. The pillars which undergird or support our ministry of the gospel are rest upon God and the prayer of His people. If you want to be spiritually warm, you must keep up the spirit of prayer. One other spiritual fire available to Christians, which I would strongly recommend Christians who feels a chill at his or her heart, is to the Word of God prayer, much fellowship with his or her fellow Christian believers instead of the friends of the world. There is scarcely any greater blessing to a believer than to have those to speak with who can help by telling you their Christian experiences, by sharing with you God's blessing, by sharing with you God's mercy. And it is through that Christian fellowship that you warm each other's heart. If two friends are walking together and one of them stumbles, the other can help to hold him up. And that is the wise thing from King Solomon. We are generally affable, or affable by nature rather, friendly, and we are prone to get the wrong kind of friends or associates. But if we have Christian companions, true helper in the Lord, then we shall find the way to the celestial city much smooth. Spend as much time as you can, brethren, with like-minded saints of God, and it shall be time well spent to the warming of your soul. There is still one more fire I strongly recommend, and that is sure to warm a Christian, and that is kindle the flame of earnest service for your Savior, the Lord Jesus, and for your fellow men. Begin with those of the same household of faith first, and then expand it to those outside of the church. Earnest service for God. I do not mean, by the way, some official position in the ministry, like being a pastor or elder or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a Bible study leader. I mean, when I say service to God, it means ministering to others, living out the testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, for His name and for His honor. And then, if you do that, you may rest assured that the best way, and this is the best way, of getting good. And what is that? By doing good to others, ministering to others for the glory of God. And I'm talking to, and referring to who? Those who are saved, those who are Christian, because he is or she is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many professing Christians are cold and uncomfortable because they are doing nothing for their Savior. They are too occupied with many other things. But if they actively serve Him by ministering to the needs of others, their blood would begin to circulate spiritually, and it would be well with them, and the name of Christ is honored. Brethren, the moment you begin to seek to do good to others, as I said, first to the households of faith, and then expand it to those outside the church, you will have kindled a fire which will warm yourself as well as the person you are ministering to. This leads me to my third point, which is to do with what the people of Malta did to Paul and his company. My third head is, seek to kindle a spiritual fire for those who are spiritually cold. The professing church, as we know, for many years now and up to the present age, seems to be so frozen so hard, that those outside of the church have a fine layer of eyes in which or on which to perform their worldly dancing. It is when the church is filled with the Spirit of God that her members do not find any room for this modern foolish notions about high culture, which usually spring from ignorance of that which is really worth, not ignorance of that which is really worth knowing. If God will give back to us a really living church, a lively church, we shall soon find that these evils have vanished. Just as the iron gets bright when it gets hot, so let the church of Christ get red hot, and it will soon throw off all this worldly rubbish. What is the first thing toward warming people at the fire? I suggest the first thing is that we must get a flame. We must get a flame. There is no way for us to get a revival fire but from God Himself. It must come from our Savior, the Lord Jesus. The only kind of revival that is worth having is that which has come down from God Himself. Not that which has been got up by man, or made up by man. The fire which fell upon Elijah's sacrifice on Mount Carmel was the fire of the Lord God, which fell from heaven and which, we read, consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. We want that kind of fire. And if we have only two or three praying people who feel that they would die of a broken heart if the Church of Christ should continue in that condition of coldness in which she is now, we should soon see a different state of things altogether. The heart of God is still moved, brethren, by the prayers of His people. His hand is still stretched out in blessing in answer to the cries of His children. The kindling of the fire of revival must be from a live coal from off the heavenly altar. Thereafter, there is a need. Once we get that flame coming, there is also a need for fresh supply of fuel to keep that fire burning. And so we see here in this passage that Paul was at work picking up sticks and laid it on the fire. When we once get God's revival fire to warm this cold world, the church must find suitable fuel to feed it. And so how do we do it? How do we get more fuel to keep this spiritual fire burning in your heart, in mind? And that is, we get some from these Christians and we get some from other Christians. And we ourselves must be the glowing coals. And if we can be kept close together in unity, in harmony, and be fanned by the spirit of unity and by the breath of the Holy Spirit, there will soon be a blessed furnace heat that shall warm this cold earth. Let us take the words of this hymn and make it our prayer. Spirit divine, attend our prayers. Make a lost world thy home. Descend with all thy gracious powers. O come, great spirit, come. Come as the fire and purge our hearts like sacrificial flame. Let our whole soul and offering be to our Redeemer's name. Brethren in the Lord, let us pray that our gracious Lord Jesus will send us a still greater revival than any that we have ever yet experienced. We have not had a spiritual revival for a great many years now. Do you realize that? In fact, we are going down and down, spiraling further down spiritually. But we may be rekindled. May we not give up praying that the God of mercy will give us a fresh visitation of His Spirit to refresh, to renew, and to revive us, His redeemed people, and many more unbelievers will be brought into His kingdom, and we shall indeed see these empty seats here in our church be filled up. If only we and you and I as God's people persevere in our prayer and to seek for the Lord to send us a revival fire. May the Lord warm our hearts as we take in His word. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, indeed, we long to have that spiritual fire. We desire to have our cold hearts rekindled by the flame of our Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. O Lord, we pray indeed, and we plead that Thou wilt send forth Your Holy Spirit to visit Thy people afresh in this land and in all the nations of the world. that we may be revived, that our hearts may be warm, and that thou will continue by thy Spirit to keep our hearts warmer and warmer each day, till you call us home, or till you come again soon to bring us unto yourself. O Lord, we pray that you will help us in this new week, that we will not forget thy word, thy truth, that we will not forget that we bear forth the name of Christ, that we will not forget that we are only pilgrims here in this life, in this short journey, and that, Lord, we are in a race, and that this world is not our home. O Father, we pray that you will help us to live our lives in this new week, each day, meaningfully and purposefully, preparing ourselves to meet our Savior, so that we may indeed receive from him a commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So help us, we pray, in this new week. Bless thy people with your peace and your joy, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.